this week marks the one-year anniversary of the Tree of Life synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The mass shooting is one of the deadliest hate crimes in American history. If you've been watching the news over the last few years, it may feel like we're seeing a lot of violence and hate in our communities, like the incident in Pittsburgh or the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin shooting in Oak Creek 7 years ago. One Wisconsin group likens these violent incidents and the hate that goes along with them to a national addiction. That group has unveiled a new 12-step program that they say will help combat violence and hate-related incidents. Masood Akhtar is the founder of We Are Many, United Against Hate. Masood, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me.
And Mike McCabe is executive director of that group. Mike, welcome back.
Thanks, Rob.
Well, Masood, why did you and your group want to tackle this issue with this 12-step program you're calling it?
I think it's critical because initially in the last couple of years, we have been heavily focusing on educational programs, going to colleges and high schools and other places, and that has some significant impact on this youth to deal with this kind of problem. And now we are taking it to the next step in terms of what really needs to be done, what are the root causes of this, taking a much broader look at that and see how we can provide the resources that are needed.
And that's in what you have on your website about this, Mike. That's the core idea here, instead of trying to tackle symptoms, looking for root causes.
Yeah, nobody is born hating. Nobody is born being violent. These are behaviors that are learned, and they don't just happen. They are caused. There are underlying causes to what ends up manifesting itself as anger and hate and violence. And so, you know, we're trying to at least stimulate a discussion about what some of those causes are and how we would get at uprooting them.
Before we get to the 12 steps, Masood, I mentioned just two incidents out of many. Can you talk about what you see out there when it comes to hate in the United States, whether it ends up resulting in violence or not?
Yeah, I think the hate crimes have increased substantially in the last few years. The other trend that we are noticing is that the rise in hate is because of this white supremacist group. And not only public in general is concerned about it, but also law enforcement officers like FBI is very concerned about what they are seeing. And they started looking at it as more like a domestic terrorism. That's the word that wasn't there before. The terrorism word was always associated with international people doing that. These people also have the same ideology as ISIS and others. So because of that, there are a lot of activities that are going on. And FBI is very concerned about it and talking to U.S. House of Representatives to deal with it.
Mike, let's get into some of the items on your 12-step list here. The first one on the list is relieve economic stress. People might say, wait, what does that have to do with hate and bigotry? What does it have to do
with? It has everything to do with it. You know, we've got a member of our advisory board, Arno Michaelis, who's a former white supremacist. And if you ask Arno how he went out and recruited people, and he started one of the world's largest racist skinhead organizations, and a member of that organization was the shooter in that Oak Creek Temple slaughter that you mentioned in 2012. And what he said is that violent extremist ideologies prey on economic stresses like joblessness, economic insecurity, inequality. And that's how they recruit. They go and look for people who are really struggling economically, and then they offer up a scapegoat. They say, "This is why you're not getting your fair shake in society."
It's one thing to identify that as a problem. Of what prescriptions do you offer? This is something people have been trying to tackle for centuries, right?
Yeah. Well, think about the economic stresses that people feel. A lot of times, people are trapped in jobs that they can't stand, and they stay there because otherwise they don't have any ability to get health care. And so detaching employment from health care and creating a system in this country where people have access to health care regardless of their employment status, that would be something that would be a huge benefit to people, that would relieve some of the economic stresses that end up boiling over in too many cases.
Masood, another item on the list is destigmatize and decriminalize mental health. Why do you see that as an important part of the picture?
Well, it's important in the sense that sometimes it is used as a reason to justify why these people are doing these kind of activities, and it becomes a political issue. So it's important that, yes, we have to pay attention to these mental health issues and then try to figure this out. The thing that causes problem for the Muslim community in this particular case is that when a Muslim is a shooter, you don't talk about this situation. You only talk about mental health issues if the shooter is not a Muslim. So we are bringing this issue to attention that, you know, this is an important issue we need to deal with.
We're talking about a 12-step program against hate and violent extremism. Our guests are with the group We Are Many, United Against Hate, Masood Akhtar and Mike McCabe. They have 12 steps that they say will at least start to deal with problems of hate and violence in the United States. Mike, here's an interesting one that people maybe don't think about much of this. Reconnect with nature. What's that? Why is that on this list?
In our society, so many of us do so much medicating to deal with chronic pain and the overwhelming stresses that people are under. And in the medical community, you're increasingly hearing physicians say, we got to prescribe less medication and we've got to get people to reconnect with the outdoors, because being in nature is known to reduce stress, to reduce blood pressure, to reduce heart rate, to get at so many of the underlying causes that end up producing the sort of anxiety that ends up morphing in some cases to violence, either domestic violence or these outbursts of violence in the community.
Masood, this is quite a mixed bag. I'll stop at those three for now. Who is this message going out to? Who are you hoping looks at this list and says, yeah, we need to take action on some or all of these items?
I think two areas that we are focusing on, two audiences. One is public, that we would like them to play a major role into these kinds of debates and start talking about it, start aiming, particularly those that are located in rural communities. And I think it's very important to do that. The other one is, obviously, our group is nonpartisan, so this is one of those areas we want have these our elected officials of both parties to look into it a little bit deeper of why this hate is happening, what is the root cause of this. And, you know, the surprising part of that is that there are 15 hate groups right here in Wisconsin. So we have to deal with this seriously.
And, Mike, where do you see, say, those government officials and the political parties missing the boat when it comes to confronting hate?
Well, as Masood said, there's been a 20% increase in the number of hate groups across the country, and there's 15 operating right here in Wisconsin. And you know, we've seen one mass shooting after another, and after every one of those mass shootings, after every eruption of hate and violence, there's this debate that goes nowhere in the halls of Congress and in state legislatures. Some people say you've got to do something about guns, and then somebody says, no, we got to do something about video games. And it ends up being a circular discussion that ends up going nowhere. But they're all dealing with symptoms, and they're not dealing with underlying causes of these problems. So what we're trying to do is stimulate a discussion that hate is not just the symptoms that appear on the surface. There are root causes to this. It's not unlike alcoholism. There are reasons why people succumb to that disease, and then some people find the strength to overcome that disease with a 12-step program. What we're suggesting is maybe we should think about a 12-step program that gets to the bottom of America's addiction with hate and violence. And that's not happening in the state capitol. It's not happening on Capitol Hill out in Washington, D.C. So we're trying to stimulate a conversation to get the public engaged and saying, let's look at where this actually comes from and try to address those root causes.
Bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Dave is with us in Milwaukee. Dave, hi.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon. This topic is essential. I want to applaud you for having this discussion. I think that we have to just focus on the real causes of hate, and that's whiteness in all its forms and any political dissension, like people who are pro-life, people who are religious. That's where all hate comes from, because they are bad whites, and they don't understand. You just have to, you know, just don't be white and don't have any kind of.
Dave, I'm going to jump in. That's not what you said you were going to call in about. I'm not sure where you're going with that, but Masood, any thoughts on what Dave had to say?
Yeah, I didn't get that somehow.
I guess the only thing I would say, Rob, is that we have to be careful about saying that it's somebody else's problem and that the problem is simply coming from some other and they've got to deal with their problems and then the problem will go away. It's more deep-seated than that. And it's something that we all have to wrestle with. And this requires soul-searching for all of us. And if we don't address fundamental problems with the way our society's operating today, and that's all of our responsibility, we're not going to get a handle on this problem.
I think where Dave was going, I think he was kind of parodying something that talking about race means you're blaming white people inherently for the problems, and that the idea of talking about race is inherently divisive. Do we need to talk more about race?
I think we should. You know, this country is built on some of these things, pretty, pretty unique, and that does not exist in other countries. And I think I would like to see white people speaking more about this as a part of this, that, hey, we will not even tolerate these kinds of things. We need to recognize that the problem exists. And I think everybody, regardless of their color, religion, or ethnicity, or political affiliation, should come forward and work together, because there is a lot of division going on right now. And we just want to make sure that the beauty of this country is something is very new. This is something very important. We want to make sure this country remains united and not divided.
We're talking to Masoud Akhtar and Mike McCabe of the group We Are Many, United Against Hate. They're with us to talk about the group's new 12-step style program that aims to combat what it calls a national addiction to hate and violence. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about some of the ideas you've heard so far? Do you agree that our country seems to have an addiction, or at least is feeding on violence and hate? What do you think needs to change to bring people together? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with Masoud Akhtar and Mike McCabe of the group We Are Many, United Against Hate. They recently released a 12-step style program aimed at turning the tide on hate and violence. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see racially motivated hate in your community? What do you think drives this? What steps do you think should be taken to alleviate hate and violence in your community? Do you have a question for our guests about their ideas? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll bring on another caller now. Sarah is with us in Lodi. Sarah, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Sarah?
Well, I was thinking about this at the time, you know, when we started talking really about bullying, and we were telling kids to stand up against bullies, stand their ground against bullies. And then all of a sudden we have this huge influx of guns in our country. And then you have states like Florida who create a law that says, stand your ground, and if you feel threatened by someone, it's okay to shoot them. And sometimes I think we just, as adults or as people working on these problems or discussing this, we don't really look at how we name things, how we talk about things. And it's very disturbing to me.
Sarah, thanks a lot for the call. Masoud, the way we talk, the language we use, Sarah's worried about.
Yeah, I think it's important that these issues should be discussed at different level and brought to everybody's attention. You know, we have been to so many schools now, and we hear this all the time. And as you might have heard, N-word is getting out, and everybody's talking about it. Talking about is a good starting point. And I think that's where Mike and I are coming from, is let's just start some dialogues, but at the same time, dig deep into it. What is causing this, and what really needs to be done to solve it? So I think that Sarah's question is very important for this kind of conversation.
Thanks for that call, Sarah. I want to get into some other items on your 12-step program here. Mike, one of them is incarcerate less, educate more. How does that fit in?
Well, that even relates to one of them that you brought up earlier about destigmatizing and decriminalizing mental health. The way our society is currently dealing with mental health challenges more than anything, any other approach is through imprisonment. That's the the biggest response of our society to mental health challenges is to lock people away. And of course, that leads nowhere good. And so we've got to take mental health seriously, and you know, we've got to get away from this approach of locking people up and throwing away the key and thinking that that will do away with the problems of violence. Truth is, you look at right across the border to Minnesota, there's a state with half the prison population Wisconsin has, and yet Wisconsin and Minnesota have virtually identical crime rates. So there's something that Minnesota has discovered that Wisconsin so far hasn't discovered, that simply locking people away is not an effective remedy for crime. And so, you know, we've got to get to the root causes of misbehavior and criminal behavior if we're really going to get a handle on these problems. So, you know, that this step really relates to that earlier step that you brought up as well about destigmatizing mental health challenges.
And Masood, another item on the list, dedicates ourselves to inclusive communities. That sounds like one of those things that's easy to say and harder to put into practice. What are you looking for?
It is, but I think somebody has to start it, right? I mean, the diversity is there, and we need to do some little bit educational part of it that, hey, America promotes unity, not uniformity, and that's the beauty of this country, that everybody's opinion is respected, and we need to take that into consideration.
We are talking to Mike McCabe and Masood Akhtar from We Are Many, United Against Hate, looking at what they're calling a 12-step program aimed at dealing with hate and hopefully preventing hate-based violence. Back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. We've got Chris with us in Stevens Point. Chris, hi.
Hello. Basically what I wanted to kind of add to the conversation is a lot of what you guys have been saying is great, and I really feel that people on both sides, I think things would be less polarized if we all took time to really use effective listening techniques and listen to one another to really get to those root causes. I think too many times, I mean, even if you have a legitimate question on something that is related to any of these hate type of things, that if you're on maybe the side that's viewed as hateful, you know, you try to speak up and you really get shut down, and we wave fingers too many times rather than try to figure out why do they feel that way? How can we change their minds? Because it doesn't seem that just taking the moral stance is very effective. We have to set aside our own attitudes and really listen to these people and figure out what are the root causes to this hate.
Chris, thanks for the call. Mike, what do you think? Listening.
Amen. You know, and one of the things that's been delightful ever since we put this out is, you know, we put forward 12 steps. But then other people have said this should be the 13th step or this should be the 14th step. But that's exactly what we're looking for, is to start a conversation, not to end one. We're not saying that we've got all the answers. We're saying, think about this. Think about how any of these things are underneath the hate and the violence that are so pervasive in our society. Now, how do we get at that? And then what that does is it stimulates people to think, and we need to listen to that. If we can just start a good conversation here, then this is all worth it, and it's a step forward.
Now, some people might hear that, Masood, and think, well, wait a minute. What if I'm part of whatever group, and this person over here, literally part of the ideology they're propounding is that I should be dead or exiled from this country? Do we need to listen even then?
I think this is very important that you have to reach out to those who really don't like what we're talking about. This is the only way you can make a change. You know, we typically talk to a preaching the choir kind of situation. We have to do really extra effort to reach out to those who are not coming out and speaking about this and don't want to be engaged, but that's critical. I think that's one of the purpose we came on this show, is to reach out to those people, particularly those in rural communities where we have very little discussion on this particular topic. I want them to actually reach out to us and arrange some kind of this conversation so we can actively participate and engage those people as well. That's the only way we're going to make a change.
That reminds me, you mentioned Arno Michaelis, who's on your board. You said he was on the show a few weeks back, and I remember him talking about the people who changed him from being a white supremacist leader were co-workers, colleagues who were people of color who literally he was organizing violence against.
He was. His goal was to kill them or drive them out of this country. And yet, acts of common decency by those people, acts of humanity by those people, is what ended up stopping his hate dead in its tracks and starting him down a different path. And we recently ran into another man in Fort Atkinson who has been a white nationalist and is devoted to this being an all-white country and wants everybody who's not white to either leave the country or be dead. But what turned him around, he was in the military and his unit was ambushed, and the man who saved his life was an African-American soldier. That started to get him thinking about this ideology he had, and it started him down a different path. And so when you think about what really stops hate dead in its tracks, it's not a violent response. It's not dealing with some of the symptoms and you know, throwing around platitudes about those symptoms. It really is about digging down to what's at the root of it. And so often, as with Arno, it was an act of humanity by somebody of a different race that started him thinking, maybe I've got it all wrong here.
Masood, in our last few moments, that puts a lot of weight on people of color. It sounds like they have to do a lot of the work here. How can everybody help to bring that humanity on board, so it isn't just on the victims of hate to be responsible to change things?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you sit down or engage, I think that's the critical part of it. That there's a lot of hate and a lot of confusion out there and a lot of misunderstanding about each other. Somebody had not seen somebody in that community. So dialogue has to start, and I think it would be good if people in different communities can take the responsibility and start bringing this. That's one of the things we are doing when we go to schools. Now there is these kids from different diverse background coming and say, hey, can we start the chapter of We Are Many United Against Hate? That's how you build the communities.
Masood, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thanks for inviting us.
And Mike, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Rob.
Been talking to Masood Akhtar, entrepreneur and founder of We Are Many, United Against Hate, and Mike McCabe, executive director of that group. They join us today to talk about the organization's 12-step program to tackle what it calls an addiction to hate and violence in our country.